Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Amanda Hertel. She is the manager of data innovation at Communitech. Hi, Amanda. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Saman. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you?
I am good, and I'm definitely excited about this particular interview and learning more about data analytics and data innovation. But first, I want to start by talking about your background. So can you share your professional and personal background?
Sure, absolutely. So I got my start really in research. So I completed an undergrad and a master's in behavioral neuroscience at Wilfrid Laurier here in Waterloo. And during that time, I got a really great education and lots of experience in applied statistics. So at the time, I didn't really see myself pursuing a career in that area. I was pretty dedicated to a career in academia, but when I started into my PhD program, I decided that it really wasn't the right path for me. So I left academia and I applied for a job as a coordinator with the regional cancer program running out of Grand River Hospital. And while I wasn't given that particular position, they had another position in mind that they thought I might be good for, which was a data analyst position. So that was really how I get my start in data analytics and data innovation. At the time, the program that I started there was really brand new, and they didn't have a sense of what it was they were trying to do. But I think they'd learned from past endeavors that if you can't prove what you've done or you don't have a good plan for how you're going to move forward, that things weren't going very well. So they just wanted someone who could look at things they were planning to do or things they had done and understand how they could justify that and how they could demonstrate to kind of the overarching bodies that they were doing a good job and that their plan for moving forward was based in some good data. So I learned really quickly that there was a lot of power in that position, and I kind of got hooked. So I was in that position for about 4 years, and during that time I realized that I, you know, was missing a bit of that business sense. So I went back to school and got an MBA as well. And from there, I moved into a variety of roles, but always sort of in the same capacity. So I did some marketing analytics for a few insurance companies. And then I took on a revenue operations role with a local Waterloo startup, which was fantastic. And then the position came up at Communitech for a manager of the data innovation programs. And I got really excited because it was taking all of the experience and learning that I had from my prior roles and being able to use that to guide some of the up and coming organizations and some of the more established corporate enterprise companies in the use of their data and letting them see that power that I had learned is behind the data that a company possesses and might not even realize that they have.
Mm-hmm. Where did you study your MBA?
Okay, so admittedly, that was at WLU also. So at the Lazaridis School of Business, I've sent a lot of my paychecks over to that university.
Can you talk about Communitech and what it is and what it does?
Sure. So Communitech is a very unique organization. I think of it less as a company and more of this living and breathing organism within the KW tech landscape. It's such a fascinating place to work because it's not the same place it was 2 years ago. And I suspect in another 2 years, it wouldn't even be recognizable for what we see it as today. Communitech as an organization is very responsive to the world and the community, and they're constantly pivoting to try and serve those needs. So Communitech really has its focus on helping local businesses, both from everywhere from a startup company that's, you know, just a founder or two, all the way up to some of the larger corporate enterprises that we have in the community, such as Rogers or Manulife or any of those types of organizations, and kind of everything in between, and helping them in any way that they might need help. So Communitech has labs internally, so companies can set up this separate innovative space and either send some of their own internal employees or recruit new members of the community to serve as little brain trusts that can help them innovate better and can help them get connected with the startup and scale up and community organizations. And then so our team, so I'm part of the data and advanced technologies team at Communitech. So we have obviously a bit of a more data focus than Communitech as a whole. And so what we do is we offer a lot of programming and solutions for companies who want to use their data to become more innovative. So sometimes that takes the form of ecosystem engagement. So if a company is struggling with a particular challenge and they know that they need some outside help, we can help to connect them with the community and the companies in the community that might be able to help solve those problems with some new and innovative techniques that the large organization isn't even aware exists yet. And then we have, as I mentioned, a lot of programming. So we have an academy that does early stage programming from leadership to product management that companies can send their employees to sign up for. And really just offering a lot of connections within the community. So connections with the municipalities, connections with community organizations, connections with the local healthcare organizations, and then all of these companies, just allowing them to really feed off of that ecosystem and help each other and evolve as a larger group. So creating something hopefully that's greater than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that you see it as a living, breathing organism, trying to make a difference in the community. So that's interesting. What I want to learn about is data analytics and data innovation. So can you elaborate on what that is?
Sure, absolutely. So as I mentioned, that's really the focus of our team, and we go about it in a few different ways. So we offer programming for companies who, as I mentioned, are looking to better understand their data. And this team is actually relatively new, and it came from our innovation teams constantly hearing during their entrance interviews that, you know, we have all this data and we don't know what to do with it. And that just became this theme that everyone got tired of hearing. And so we decided to pivot and start up this new part of the organization that could help companies start to address that challenge. And so that's what we do. And as I mentioned, we do this in a few different ways. So a lot of programming. So we have data strategy based camps where companies can come and just learn a little bit more about data innovation, what it means, what it is. And we also offer access to advanced technologies. So at Communitech, we're actually the hosts of a few different test beds. So we have SenGen, which is the cloud network test bed. We have the AVEN network, which is the autonomous vehicle information network. And then we have the 5G Encore test bed, which is a test bed allowing people to access the 5G network. So we use those to allow some of our companies, so from startups all the way again up to enterprise, to have access to some of these technologies that don't quite exist in the real world yet in a meaningful way, and let them test out their products and services and see how they're going to perform when, you know, 5G is everywhere. People need to be prepared for how that's going to change the way that they do business. So we try to facilitate learning in that space. And, you know, from a data innovation perspective, what we really focus on is this idea that every company that we work with is a data company, whether they kind of realize it or not. And so, you know, when I think of some examples, and I have one from my own history that I'll share that I think was really impactful for me and really helped me understand how data can be very innovative, a very innovative force for a company. So I was working for a small startup, and they were strategizing to kind of make this move up market. So they wanted to start attracting larger and flashier customers. But they didn't entirely understand how they were going to go about doing that and what the different pieces are that they needed to understand in order to make that move. So one of the things that I did was I created these really concrete customer value tables. So for each customer, looking at both the revenue that they were bringing in, how it fluctuated seasonally and things of that nature, but then also countering that with the cost of doing business with this company. So the value proposition we found for individual companies was kind of all over the map. For some legacy customers, we were doing so much work for them on the back end that it was actually costing us money to do business with them. There were a lot of times that, you know, the CSM and the IT team were just spending hours and hours with these companies just trying to keep them up and running. And the revenue that we were receiving just didn't justify those relationships. And then, so from there, once we kind of really understood this value proposition for individual customers, we were able to use that data to identify out in the world what would be some very valuable customers for us. So taking into account all of the different facets of that organization and the way that they operated and the teams that they had on board, and being able to use that data to really properly assess some of these companies that we were starting to pursue from a sales capacity. And what we found was that it just really improved our ability to make profitable business deals from the company. So really understanding which companies were going to be the best fit for us, what we needed to charge them in order to make it worthwhile, and how we needed to segregate them into different categories with regards to how much time our CSM and IT teams would end up spending with them on a weekly or monthly basis. So it was just taking that data that we knew existed, but using it in kind of a new way so that we could really improve the value proposition that we had for all of our customers. And I think that was kind of my first foray into data innovation. And at Communitech, we've been pursuing that kind of work with a lot of different companies. But there's also just like lots of great examples of data innovation that exists out in the world. One of my favorites that I always like to bring up in the programming that we're doing with companies is around Coca-Cola. So Coca-Cola was having some issues around product development and really understanding what kind of new products they could bring to the market that would be exciting and interesting for their customers. And the reason I love this example is because it always kind of blows people's minds when they think about it, but because we've all gone in and we've used one of those Coca-Cola dispenser machines that they've now installed seemingly in every fast food restaurant. So you can, you know, you go up to the machine and you bring your cup and you can choose either to pour yourself a regular Coke or a regular Sprite, or you can pour yourself Coke with a splash of lemon or cherry, or you can mix your Coke and your Sprite or create some kind of God only knows what sort of concoction you might create out of those machines. But the basis for these machines and instilling them in all of these restaurants was actually so that the folks at Coca-Cola could use all of this data that they were coming to start to develop new products. So they could say, wow, you know, a lot of people are creating this cherry Sprite combination and we never really would have thought of that, but maybe this is something we need to release. And then actually using that data to drive product development. So they started releasing new flavors of sodas and using kind of the geographical location to understand which ones would be the best sellers in different places, and then releasing them from that. So I always thought that that was a really cool example of data innovation. And again, just thinking about what's the problem that you're trying to solve and what data do you need to solve it?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing those examples and insights. One thing that I want to talk to you about is the Rogers 5G virtual pitch competition that was happening, or it perhaps is still happening. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. This was a really exciting adventure for us. So as I mentioned, Rogers is one of our larger corporate clients that we engage with, and we engage with them in so many ways. They're such an innovative and curious company. So they're a lot of fun to work with, and they're such a great example of the type of customer that we try to attract, which is someone who really wants to just dive into this tech ecosystem and see what's in there and really pick it apart to find the pieces that would serve them best. So they've been great. And this particular, so the 5G ecosystem engagement that you mentioned, it came out of a few different places. So as I mentioned earlier, we host the Encore 5G testbed. So it allows smaller companies to access a 5G network that they wouldn't normally have access to. So they can test their solutions, test their tech on this 5G network and really understand how they need to change or improve things to work on this 5G network. And so we partnered with the folks at the Ontario Center of Excellence who own this 5G testbed, and with Rogers. And because for Rogers, 5G is, it is admittedly like a bit of a timeline project for them. So they, because they haven't fully immersed themselves in 5G as of yet, it's kind of forward looking. So trying to see when 5G becomes the norm, what are the unique and different challenges that they're going to be facing as they try and implement it? And one of the things that they realized they didn't fully understand yet was around the privacy and security aspect. So they reached out to Communitech and just said, you know, we realize that we don't fully have a fleshed out plan for how we're going to address privacy and security when it comes to 5G, and we could really use your help in figuring this out. So we created this 5G ecosystem engagement and started reaching out to some of the smaller companies, the startup scale-ups in our ecosystem, asking the question, you know, do you have a security solution? Are you in the space of privacy and security? And are you interested in learning about how that solution could apply to the forthcoming 5G networks? And the nice thing about this ecosystem engagement was that there was kind of benefit to both sides. So for the startup and scale-up companies, not only do they get access to some of the higher level execs from the Rogers Corp, which is huge, obviously, if you're in that space. But they also, if they were accepted, would get to create a project that they would run through this Encore testbed. And there was actually a $50,000 funding opportunity for those companies as well. So as they're completing that project, they're getting reimbursed for the money that they're spending on this research and development. So then Rogers is getting this bonus of these projects that are coming through this Encore network that are in this focus area that they were looking to address, and getting to meet all of these new and innovative companies. And so we had 13 companies that originally applied. And so we went through a whole process with them, which was a bit different for us. It wasn't the way that we normally run our ecosystem engagements. It was a much more high touch experience for the companies. So we had some kickoff sessions, and then we offered them some growth coaching and tech coaching with our local 5G experts so that they could really understand what they were getting themselves into and really understand what the testbed consists of. And then some growth coaches as well, because a lot of early stage companies have never produced a pitch for a company the size of Rogers, and, you know, really understanding how they need to present themselves and their ideas to attract the procurement folks at Rogers and the tech folk at Rogers. So we gave them access to all of those kind of internal Communitech resources. And then we hosted a pitch day. So we ended up bringing 6 companies into the pitch day, and they each got a 5-minute time period to give their presentation on what they would use this project money for and how their solution would really benefit Rogers. And then the Rogers executives at the table got a 5-minute kind of Q&A session with each of the customers. And then we went back with the Rogers team and just sort of went through those different presentations and decided which would be the best fit. And then Rogers is reaching out to actually 4 of the companies to further engage them in project work with Rogers. So it was a really, really great experience. It was a cool kind of new venture that we were taking on, pairing with the advanced technology side and pairing with some of the larger corporates. So yeah, it was a really good experience, and we got really, really great feedback from the companies that participated.
So there were 4 companies which won the competition?
That's right. Yeah. So 2 of the companies were companies that Rogers sort of had some external relations with. So 1 came through the university, and Rogers had the University of Waterloo, sorry. And Rogers has a bit of a relationship with the University of Waterloo. So they were able to kind of dig out what that relationship would look like, how it would evolve based on this. But then two of the companies were brand new to Rogers. So companies that they had never had any engagement with in the past and didn't have any experience with and only learned about them through the ecosystem engagement. So that was a really big net benefit for them, getting access to those companies that they weren't familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the names of the winners?
Oh, I'm afraid I can't reveal that information right now. Only because we're still a bit in the planning phase, and there's a lot of paperwork to be done on the Rogers side. So for one of the companies, just the deal hasn't been fully fleshed out yet. So we're not revealing the names of the winners just yet.
Okay, so it has not been publicly announced as of yet.
It has not been publicly announced as of yet, Salman. You're getting a bit of a sneak peek. Even that there were four winners, we haven't told anyone yet. So this is an exclusive for you.
Well, I got some exclusive. Thank you. And I'm now definitely curious about who those four winners are. I know one of the companies which pitched, because I've interviewed them as part of the podcast series. But the other three, and I don't know if that company won or not, and who the other three winners are. So I'm definitely curious. So hopefully when you share the public announcement, I'm definitely open to reading that.
Well, absolutely. I will share it with you as soon as we're able to. And we're hoping that it's going to be within the next week. It's already been dragging on a little bit longer than we had hoped for. But sometimes this is the way that it happens. As I mentioned, there's just a lot of paperwork to go through kind of on both sides. And for some of the companies that we were engaging with, they have existing relationships with other companies as well who use their solutions. So to partner on exclusive project work with Rogers, for example, can sometimes be a bit of a challenge for their internal teams. So we just want to make sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed before we make our big announcement. But I will make sure to tag you in the post, Salman, so that you get access to read that. Cause I think, we're going to be revealing a little bit about how the project worked and how the ecosystem engagements, were built and formulated to be kind of the best that they could be for everybody involved. So I think it'll be an interesting read for everyone as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely tag me. So for the winners, is there like a cash prize component, or is it about collaboration with Rogers? What exactly is the prize?
Sure. So it's a bit of a combination of the two. So as I mentioned, the winners that are selected get to pursue one of these encore projects with the Ontario Centre of Excellence. So that's a $50,000 I don't know if prize is the right word, but it's a $50,000 investment from that group who will invest in the project that they're pursuing. And then the second part of it is that engagement with Rogers. So one of the things that we hear always from our startup and scale-up companies is that they just need more opportunities to sell. A lot of them have really great solutions and really great services that they can offer, but getting face time with the right people from these large organizations, especially the telecoms such as Rogers, can be really, really challenging because Rogers is constantly inundated with requests for companies to partner with them. So the nice thing for Rogers is that Communitech acts as a bit of a vetting source. So we work with these smaller companies. We know them. We understand their value proposition and can really help them put together the best pitch possible. And then for the companies, they're getting access to the right people at Rogers to have these conversations with. So it's a really big deal for them, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So one thing that I want to ask you about is, recently a lot of companies have been moving to a more virtual work environment. So how has the transition been for you?
Yeah. Oh, thanks for asking. At Communitech, because of the nature of the work that we do here, a lot of it was done virtually or over phone calls anyway. So I work with a lot of external companies, as you probably guessed, based on what I've been talking about. So a lot of that initial work was done virtually, but then so much of what Communitech does is physically bringing customers together in the same space. So I mentioned the innovation labs. I mentioned a lot of the programming and facilitation sessions and the academy work that we do. And all of that, we had to pivot into reproducing that effect virtually, which, as you can imagine, was a big challenge. It's hard to create that excitement and that innovative environment when people are physically separated and just connecting over Zoom calls or Google Meets or whatever the case may be. But I think as a group, we've done a really exceptional job of coming out on top in a lot of those spaces. So we've been trying to pull together some new services, and one of those things that we've been doing that's really been spurned on by this virtual switch, I guess, is Communitech has started hosting Future Ofs. So the first one that we started, which was prior to the pandemic, was the Future of Work and Learning. And it's a coalition where we're bringing together lots of different organizations and communities, really like across Ontario and sometimes even across Canada, to talk about what does it look like. What does the future of work and learning look like? So now that we've pivoted into this virtual environment, how are we going to make that work moving forward? And what goes on in those future of collaboratives or coalitions is a lot of think tank activities and a lot of these sort of ecosystem engagements and a lot of positioning the community to be at the forefront of what's going to be the next big thing in work and learning. Or we're just launching our Future of Cities collaborative as well. We have a summit coming up at the end of the month, and that's going to look at, you know, a big piece of it is going to be how have we as a community, as an organization, as a country pivoted to this kind of virtual space and virtual delivery of programs, virtual delivery of services. And what does that mean for the cities that we live in? What are they going to look like? What do we need to address as far as transportation and housing and people development and work and really just bringing in all of the best people to have those conversations and putting together some of these projects. So running more of these ecosystem engagements to try and solve some of those big challenges that we're facing. So that's been a big change for us with the virtual pivot, but I think it's been a really positive venture that we've been taking on. And that's just a testament to all of the incredibly smart people that I work with, because they just seem to, you know, get faced with a challenge and immediately come up with a fantastic way to exploit it.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to pursue a career in data analytics and innovation, what can they do? What would you suggest them to do to move ahead in this career?
Oh, that's a great question. So there's so many different types of jobs in data analytics and data innovation. And I think there's a few different sides to it that people can pursue. So one side is the data scientist role. And that's a very tactical, very developer-style role. So in order to pursue something like that, there's a need for a really strong math background. There's a need for developing skills. There's, having access to Python and SQL and good programming skills would certainly serve you well. And that's kind of where you're looking to sort of physically get into the data and understand what it is and what it means and putting together databases that can help companies solve challenges. The role that I take, and which I think is kind of the other side of it, is acting as sort of the conduit between those data scientists, those programmers, those database experts, and then the people on the business end. So I like to think of it as the last mile of data analytics. And it's really taking those business challenges and those business problems and transforming them into something that you can use data to solve. And I think that comes from having just a really varied background and being very curious. So I have lived in the marketing world, I've lived in the operations world, and I think all of those spaces can be very data forward if the person that sits in that role takes the data very seriously. So I think there's no wrong way to get into a career in data analytics. I think there's probably faster tracks, such as I mentioned, having that math background and getting those programmer skills and just kind of diving into a data analyst role. But to work on sort of that other side where you're really solving those business challenges and you're in a very more strategic position, I think that just comes from getting into one of those roles and starting to explore the data and really just forcing yourself to be more curious.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing those tips. And I guess a math background and programming skills might certainly help in pursuing a career in data analytics. So thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Well, Amanda, it has been very nice speaking with you and learning about Communitech and also data analytics. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me. This was fun.
You're welcome. And if somebody wants to find you, would you like to share your website or contact info?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to reach me probably is via email. So it's just amanda.hertel, H-E-R-T-E-L, at communitech.ca. I'm also at LinkedIn, so I can be tracked down on there, and I'm pretty responsive on that site. So either one of them would be fantastic, and I would love to hear back from people if they have questions about Communitech or getting involved with us and learning more about data. Absolutely, that'd be fantastic.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you got a chance to learn about Communitech and data analytics. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to Amanda. And thank you very much for listening to Zonecast, and stay tuned for more episodes.